But I would say that, you know what I mean, you're going to lay in the bed you make. You're not going to get away with nothing in terms of the energy. You know what I mean? You might beat the camera or the police. They might not catch you for what you're doing, but the energy is always going to return to you. So when you just living in this cycle of being negative all day and just putting out negativity and that's the only energy you putting out, it's going to return to you in a different form than you put it out in. So I would just say, you know, master your energy. Do your best to master your energy and what you put out, you know, unless that's what you want. You know, because you entitled to whatever you want to create, whatever experience you want to create for yourself. But if you're tired of that shit, adjust the energy. You know what I mean? As best you can. Adjust what you wake up thinking and what you say. And then, lastly, what you do. And that's not an easy thing to do because it's such a pressure in these areas. There's no one answer to how you change the hood or change the reality of what goes on. But what you got to think about is when you don't have resources, you in survival mode, you know, so being in survival mode automatically rules out a lot of things because you don't care about morality because you don't experience morality. You experience, you know, the need to survive. You don't experience, you know, fairness. You don't experience planning for the future. You just experience my ribs touching, you know what I mean? And it's better me than you. And, you know, it's a survival instinct that kick in. So I think once you get out of that survival mode, your morals come back closer to your daily decision making. You start thinking about what's right and what do I believe in. But until you get out of survival mode, you ain't got time to be worrying about right and wrong. You worrying about bottom line. You know what I mean? By any means necessary.
Rest in peace, Nip.
It's your boy Super Facts here on the I Am Super Facts podcast. I'm happy about today. I got a special guest that's going to be on the show today, sitting down with me, you know, chopping it up. I want to introduce my boy Outlaw. What's good, family?
What's up with you, good brother? How you feeling?
I'm good. I'm always good. What about yourself?
The energy only, baby.
What's that you drinking on, man?
Shout out to old Conor McGregor, his whiskey, that Proper 12. It's not bad, not expensive, and it's a pretty good whiskey. I'm a whiskey guy, so, you know.
I have to give me a little glass.
Yes, sir.
See what's cracking with.
Yes, sir.
Pretty good. So, my man, I wanted to have you on to, you know, pick your brain.
Okay.
Ask you some questions, what's going on with you, and, you know, first, tell the people a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, man, I'm just not to be cliche, but just a kid from Chicago, you know, that we do a number of things over this way. Filmmaker, music manager, graphic designer, and that's just all kinds of stuff. We do everything we can, you know. What they say, you gotta have 7 hustles. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Damn, I need to get to 7. I'm like at 2 right now. 7, hey. You know. I think I'll be eating good if I had 7.
Hey, we eating good. No, I don't know right now with this diet. You might not be eating as good as you want, but
nah, this diet, man, it's got me. I just want to feel better, man. You know. Before, you know, I was just eating and eating and eating. Want to take care of myself.
Bro.
You know, since I'm in the military, they on me every month about my weight, and I get tired of that shit.
Like, oh, they really be on you?
Man, every time I go, I go 1 weekend out the month.
Right.
So every time I go, I gotta get weighed because I'm on a weight, height and weight program right now because I failed it. And then once you fail your weight, you gotta come in every month and show improvements and shit like that.
And what if you're not showing improvements?
They say this technically they supposed to, like, you come in probably like 2 or 3 times and you ain't show no improvement, technically they supposed to get the paperwork ready to get you out, to kick you out. So they don't be wanting to do that. So they give you chances. Mm-hmm. They give you chances. But I got a year left and I'm, you know, once March 2020 comes, I'm done and I'm gone. And fuck that shit though. But
in a dough.
Yeah, in a dough.
Right, I feel you.
Where you from, man?
West Side. West Side. Oh, I'm sorry. It's pronounced Best Side.
You know, rock with the South Side.
I mean, you know, if it's something that I really have to go to out there, I will. But we know.
Everybody know what's the
Best Side. We know.
Everybody know that. So, like, you say you was into filmmaking and mm-hmm. stuff like that. Like, is that a passion for you?
Yes.
Is that something you grew up on? Like, watching movies as a kid?
Man, listen. I always consider myself, like, what we call a movie nerd. You know what I mean? I always been in the film. Always. Like, if you look right here, I got a whole set of DVDs. You know, I remember I used to wake up on like Saturday mornings, my pops would already be up in the front room watching a movie. I didn't care what it was. I'd come plop down on the couch and we'd go through and watch the movie, and he'd explain every little detail that I might, maybe didn't understand. It taught me a lot, you know, just, and that just, when I grew up, growing up, I always thought that I would do like special effects for movies, you know, because I'm an artist, so I've always been, you know, into art. I mean, I've had every school I've ever been to was an art school, all the way from grade school to college. You know what I mean? Like, it was always focused on art. So, you know, here I am finding myself years and years later doing everything, like doing all the art. You know, a filmmaker, that's just another way of getting my art out there. You know what I mean? Yeah. Let me paint this picture for you and see if you enjoy it. So that's the approach I've always taken.
So you say you into art, like you draw as well?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I draw, I paint, you know, all that good stuff, man. You know, it's just, yeah, it's a form of expression. It helps me stay sane, I would say. Because, man, if you don't have a creative release, you could go crazy.
Yeah, so when was, like, the first time you was like, all right, I want to do film. I want to, you know.
The transition
to that.
Bro, it happened in a real roundabout way. So, just to kind of go back, my cousin Valentino, he has been doing music for years, right? But for a while I lived down in Arkansas. I was living down south, and I used to throw parties, and, you know, strip parties, any kind, like, I used to throw strip parties, and so I would basically, like, promoting, you know, I was doing my little thing here and there. And then we moved down south, and I had some of my boys come down there and help me with a couple parties.
Where down south?
In Little Rock, Arkansas. Okay. You know, I was in Little Rock, banging in Little Rock. Yo, it's not what you think. It's not. It's nothing like the crib. You know what I mean? We a whole different breed. Yeah. But just getting back, you know, I was throwing parties down there, and I told my cousin, yo, cuz, when I come back, I'm helping you with whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever you need, I got you. We gonna grind. We gonna work. And Valentino, that's my cousin, he was doing at the time. he was doing, like, parties and shows here. And he was about to start this thing that we have now called the Party and Peace Tour. So we would take artists all around the country. You know what I mean? We've been to Denver, Louisiana, New Orleans, just all kind of places, you know what I mean, all over the U.S., taking these artists from Chicago, having them perform with artists from whatever city we were going to that time. So we've done that for years. And when I told him when I was moving back to Chicago from Little Rock that, you know, it's time, you know what I mean, it's time to start working. So first show, I'm working the door for the show, and I see one of my homies there, you know what I mean, and he's a homie from high school. You know, so we reconnected. You know what I mean? He see me moving and he's rapping now. Okay. And I'm like, you know, oh, okay, that's what's up. Fast forward, maybe, I think we went on tour. We went down to Rockford and he won the show in Rockford. You know, his name's Influence. He won the show in Rockford. And, you know, we were just like, man, it was dope. And it was the beginning of something. He asked me maybe, I'd say a few weeks after that, would I manage him? Now, mind you, at this time, when I moved back to, to Chicago from Arkansas, I'm in the car business. Okay. So I'm talking, you know what I mean? All day long. So I guess he saw something with me and, you know, working the tour with Tino and, you know, all that and just being who I was. He saw something. He called me and asked me, would I manage him? I'm like, whoa. I don't know the game like that. My mental at that time, I thought, oh, I would be like an image consultant, or, you know what I mean? I never thought management.
Yeah.
Till he asked me, and I'm like, you know what? Bro, you know I don't know nothing about it. We in this together. You know what I'm saying? If I do it, we're going to have to learn it together. And that's what we did. And we are, like, years later, Influence has, he moved to Atlanta doing his thing. You know what I mean? We still work on every project. And to fast forward after that, then I started managing with Tino, co-managing him. You know, and so any project, I'm directing music videos now. We met Tay, you know, and now we... And Shantae, that's my right hand on it. You know what I mean? Like, we were talking about it the other day. We've probably worked together for about over six years now. You know what I mean? Maybe, probably almost, yeah, I think 6 years, you know? So on all kinds of projects, and I would direct music videos, write the treatments. We'd have other artists come through. I'd write the treatments for their video, and then my godbrother was rapping too. And so his name is Ardot. When he came through rapping and I saw he was cold, I'm like, well, I guess I got three artists. So within a matter of a year or so, I found myself from not being, you know, on the management side to managing three artists. And we were having a ball doing it, you know what I mean? But I'm always, you know, I would always be like a creative on it. Like, okay, this is your song. This is what I see for the video. So I'm writing treatments now. You know what I mean? And I'm a very, I'm direct. You know, I talk a lot.
Yeah.
And I tell people, like, you know, it's, if I want something,
yeah,
I know it. And I like to think I know how to work with people. You know what I mean? And that was something that it built to where we are now. Literally, bro, I was doing the directing the videos, and I told myself, I'm like, man, you know what? One day I'm going to write a movie. I've loved movies since I was a shorty. Like, I'm gonna write my own movie. Didn't think it was gonna happen as soon as it did, though. Tino called me one day, like, man, I'm in this movie, a local movie. You know, he like, I'm in this movie. I want you to come with me, cause maybe you could. You know what I'm saying, come check it out and just read a part, you know, cause they may need somebody. And I'm like, I'll go out there with you to rehearsal just to see what's up. We get over to my homie Breezy house. And well, she's now my homie, and they have a rehearsal for the film. It's called A Part of the Game. All right, so, and Valentino had a co-starring role in it, and so they needed me to just fill in and help read some parts through the script while they were going through the rehearsal and the table read. And so I'm like, all right, I'll read it, I'll go through it, you know what I mean? Man, I read through a couple times, and I'm sitting there thinking, like, what am I waiting for?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm going through a script with somebody, you know, I just met her that day, right? I'm going through the script, and I'm like, okay, I see what they did there. You know what I mean? And I'm like, I got you. I'll do the role. And I told Breezy, we would, you know, so we go through the rehearsals. Every other Saturday, we driving all the way out to Chicago Heights. And I honestly saw how she was doing this herself. This is a young black woman.
She was dedicated.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And she had a script together and all that. And I'm like, yo, I could do, okay, I like that. We don't have to wait as long. We could work on something. So we started. I went through it with the process, and I told Breezy, I pulled her to the side one day on set, like, look, I respect what you're doing. Anything you need help with, holler at me. You know what I mean? Like, I got you. You know what I'm saying? Just off the strength that I respected what she was doing. And man, since then, we've done maybe four projects together. I've been production manager on, we did The Hungriest Rapper reality show part, season two. I was the production manager on there. Also, she has a movie right now on Amazon called A Promise That Was Broken. You know, and you support those that support you. You know what I mean? And she's definitely always supported me. And I always, you know, I like to keep it honest. I give a shout out because I know that's when I saw, like, it's people doing this. You know what I'm saying? And you right here with them. You know what I'm saying? There's no reason to wait. And so from that point, after finishing a part of the game, we had the premiere and everything. I'm like, okay, that's what's up. You know, me and her, tight. You know what I mean? And this was 4 years ago, I think, maybe five. four or five years ago. And I started writing one day. One day at work, I started writing and bouncing ideas off a couple of my coworkers, and I had a script. So after I came and, you know, I had a solid script, it was hard for me to pin down an idea. But once I got it, it was full speed ahead. I don't think, from that day, I don't think we stopped. You know what I mean? We started writing. I came home and I told my wife, like, first I left work, and it wasn't written down. I left work because I had the bones, you know what I'm saying? And I went to the studio, Good Energy Studios, with me, Valentino, just my whole team, you know what I mean? Where we always went, and this was the Think Hub. We had meetings every week and so on. And so I had a script, and I told Tino and his wife, Dominique, I ran my story down. You know, I talk a lot, like I said. So if I'm telling a story, I can usually keep it going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I started telling people the script, like how it would go. And I told them, and they like, damn, I think we got one. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right. So by the time I got home, I tell my wife the story. And as each time I told it, this is before it's on paper, I added more details and more, you know, more meat to the bones. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So we roll with that. I get back to work. I write it down. Write as much down. Each time I go through it, I add a little more here and I add a little more there and change this because I think it may fit better. And then I got this program where I found it and I typed it up and added, put dialogue in the right places and, you know, just laid it all out and kept going and, you know, bounced it off people. I would let people read the script, and every time I would either tell the story or let people read the script, and it was only a few.
Right, you know what I mean? Was gonna ask you, like,
bro, I always had, to read the script, you had to sign a non-disclosure.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Nice.
Like dead ass. Yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because I knew the things that we've done, and I know on the business end the stuff you're supposed to do to cover your ass, you know? So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna keep going. And I let people see, and people would be flabbergasted, like, damn, that was good. Like, they really were feeling it. So I'm like, yeah, we got something. And I never wavered from it. So we started doing auditions and this, that, and the other. I'm looking for companies, production companies that I could, like, pay them some money to shoot it and I direct it or whatever the case may be. Because, growing up in the music business, you know, the time that we spent really putting all our efforts into that, I came across videographers, and you know what I mean, it's hard to get somebody that understands your your vision, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
It's so hard to find, like, you hire some of these videographers and they want to do it their way, and then you get the shit back and it's completely not your vision and what you said, and you know what I mean? That's a process. So we went years and years working with different videographers, and it just, for whatever reason, just didn't really connect, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I brought people in that I've been homies with, you know, back in the past. We reconnect because we find out we're both doing this, you know, in this type of field now. And, like, real talk, it just doesn't. Sometimes you have to let people go if they don't see the vision, and if they not gonna work it. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes
yeah.
you gotta leave people behind. And it's some homies that,
look, how stressful is that, man? How stressful is the whole thing as far as, you know,
bro, it's
getting
the,
everything together?
Bro, it was the hardest thing I've ever done, but the most rewarding.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Literally. Like, it's definitely the hardest thing. And it was days like, bro, it was days I wanted to be like, the hell with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, but I couldn't. You know what I'm saying? I just couldn't let it not happen. You know what I mean? So mind you, now we're doing, you know, rewind back to, what, 2014? Right around 2014, 15. We're doing auditions. You know what I'm saying? We're doing auditions at the Music Garage, and we're finding people, and it's going great. And I let everybody read the script. Let my pops read the script. You know what I'm saying? And he loved it. He, like, you know... Like, before he'd even read the script, he was like, ain't you tired of working for people? Don't you want to do your own thing? And I'm like, man, if he only knew, right? Like, you know what I mean? And he just, you know, throwing out those words of wisdom they do. And so he loved the script. He was like, man, do it. Don't worry, Pop. It's going to get done.
Right.
So, what was that? August 2015, my best friend got married in Jamaica. know what I'm saying? So we fly down there for the wedding, me and the wife. Kids stayed back with the parents. And that Sunday morning, we get a call. You know what I mean? Like, and we worried, like, you know, they got the kids, the girls. Everybody got the girls. I get a call. My pops passed out of nowhere. Like, literally, like, no health issues.
No health issues or nothing.
Random. He was actually directing the men's choir at church that one Sunday a year they do that. You know, and had a heart attack at the front of the church. So my kids are there, my sister's there, my mama, everybody. You know what I'm saying? And so it's like, you know, it's a family-oriented church. My family is the largest family in the church, basically. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, me and the wife, we stuck in Jamaica trying to get back, you know, and it was just a whirlwind. You know what I mean? And so I kind of, sat on it for a couple, not too long, because I knew Pops would want me to continue going. Yeah, and so what we ended up doing was Valentino came up with this dope idea. You know, at the time, I'll be honest, I was like, why would we do that now? He came up with the idea of let's do a web series, right? And it was between that time. And I'm just like, man, like, all our focus is on the movie right now. You know, so I felt, you know, I don't want to say I felt the way about it, but I was like, man, and it was one of the best things we could have ever done. You know what I mean? Yeah, the way everything, that was like, for me, doing that web series was like us going to college or grad school.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, we have a web series that we wrote. It's five different, it's called The Conglomerate. So you can definitely go on YouTube and check it out. It's a great web series. Tino came up with the concept, and we would meet, it was about five of us that would meet, our whole team would meet, and we would write, script it out, you know what I'm saying? Find locations and pick shot dates, and we would have auditions for the cast, and that taught me the process on things we were gonna do, things we won't do anymore, things we'll do differently, things that we did excellent. You know what I mean? And it taught us so much. We got six episodes out of it. You know what I mean? That was a long run, and that was during that time frame. I had an opportunity to bring in and work with multiple videographers. And it was a time to see honestly who you could work with and who it probably wasn't going to be the best working relationship. So we had different videographers come, but we always had Visuals by Zuria. We always had her as the lead camera, and we would always try and see who would work, who can get what she gets, how we want it. You know what I mean? Like, who can be a good second cameraman? We had some, but when it came time to, you know, we finished the web series a little sooner than we wanted, because it's hard when you have a bunch of actors that are working off there just off the love of the game, basically. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. And, you know, sometimes they're not very, everybody ain't gonna be able to make it all the time. But they do their best, you know what I'm saying, in them situations. So, you know, that made some of the stuff difficult. So we learned in that process things that I would want to do different going forward for my film, and so on and so forth. And even during that time frame, I understood I wrote my film a certain way so that I would only need a certain amount of actors on one any given day. But our web series, we literally, we had five, it was five main characters, uh-huh. And they all had backstories and their own individual lives going on. And so we end up, but we made a great web series. When you go back and watch The Conglomerate, that's on YouTube. It's, you can go to Good Energy Films. It's going to come right up. Episodes 1-6 are there. We got a lot of people that want us to, continue on and make another one. But the thing is, a lot of the actors have gone on and they're doing other big projects. And it's hard to get everybody back. And do we want to just kind of move on to something new? Or what? But, you know, we still playing with that idea. You know, I've gotten some information that some of the cast have recently moved back to the city. So we might have a chance to do a reunion or something like that.
How long was it to write your script? How long did it take you to write that script?
The writing was the quick part. But from front to back, from the beginning of writing to finishing, was 3 years. Yeah, so to write, to film, so that's pre-production, production, and post-production. And we did, that's actually really good for a movie. You know what I mean? Yeah. Especially, like, that time frame. Some movies will be written and not get done for another 10 years. You know what I mean? So we had our, like, we worked. We every day in, day out, we were on it.
So how was the whole experience for you?
Man, like I said, the hardest thing I've ever done, but the most rewarding. You know what I mean? Like, we get great feedback from the movie. Oh, it is called Mr. Mata.
Yeah.
You even said that shit, you know. You know, and you can actually check it out on Amazon. So that's Mr. M-R-M-O-T-T-A. You know, it'll come right up. You know, it is rated
R. Dope movie.
Yeah, it's not for the kids. You know what I'm saying? But, like, it's not your typical, so-and-so trying to get out the hood. He's so dope. No, this is not that story. Right. You know, this is a, you know, it's a crime thriller. You know, it's the best crime thriller out of the city. And I want people to take the opportunity to go check it out. Because once you see it, you know, I think you're going to love it. You know, I haven't heard, you know, it might have a couple technical issues that we know, but we know that the story is great. You know what I mean? And that's one of those
things. This is your first
exactly.
one.
Exactly. It's the first full film. Yeah.
But like, when, because I saw the movie, I actually came to the premiere for the movie. And I didn't have like, you know, an expectation.
Right.
Because, you know, I didn't know. So,
right, you didn't really have a real clue.
I didn't have a clue. Yeah. I seen the cover art for the movie, and I'm like, yo, what is this? Mm-hmm. So when I went and saw it, I mean, I left like, yo, this shit was dope.
Dope.
Like, I'm praying that it's a part two to it. You know what I'm saying?
We got something in the works. Yeah.
But it was dope, and I definitely was, you know, we end up going on Amazon, purchasing it.
Appreciate that, too.
We got a support.
Yeah, man.
So, yeah, I love the movie, and I definitely will put it out there and post it and let people know about it. But, like, what, in your opinion, is the most important quality for a film director?
Stay true to your vision. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you want to make a film and you have a vision for it, don't let nothing stop you doing it. You know what I mean? Like, if you're really serious about it, if you want that shit, go get it. And you know what I'm saying? I say that all the time. Like, if you really claim you want it, you're going to do what you need to get it. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm going to keep it real. It was not only one of the hardest things, just physically, mentally, emotionally, and all that, but financially, it was a burden. You know what I'm saying? But you get, like, if you want something, you're going to do what you need to get it done. You know what I'm saying? And at this point, I have a work of art that will stand the test of time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I used to, you know, I ask people all the time, you know, when we lost Pops, that kind of changed my perspective on everything. I already had a high motor. Like, I was already always ready to work and ready to go. And, it, you know, people know me for that. I think that's why, you know, people all, like, you know, my team always respect me because they know I'm a do my part. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to work hard. You ain't got to worry about me. I'm going to do my part and every other job that needs to be done. What else can we do? What else can we do? You know what I mean? And that's something that I really believe, you know, once we lost Pops, it multiplied, you know? And I ask people, if you, by some chance, ended, you know, like today, if you died today, do you feel like you lived, you know, done everything that you set out to do? Do you feel like you'd be remembered? You know what I'm saying? Like, would you be happy with what you leave in the earth? And a lot of people are like, no. And I'm saying, I'm like, yeah, but I'm working towards it. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that I leave something for my kids and you know, just be like immortal. You know what I'm saying? I want stuff. Yeah. There's stuff out here that'll live after us. Cause when you go, you'd be surprised how people change and how things happen. You know what I'm saying? So you got to do your part while you're here.
At any point, like during filming and dealing with like with different actors and stuff like that, have you ever encountered anybody being unprofessional?
All the time, because you got to remember, man, listen, you do the best that you can, you know what I'm saying, because it depends on what level you're working with people. If you're working with actors that are not getting paid, it's a certain level of demand that you can really give them, or you have to do it the right way. You can't expect them to do everything you say, and you talking down to them, and you treating them, you know what I mean, like, it just doesn't work, you know what I mean? If you want people to do something, it's so much you get so much further being nice. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Being respectful. And one thing about me, I try to always make sure I'm being respectful. And I want to say nice, I'm direct. And I'm not, I hope I don't come off to people as a jerk. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like my team, they all will come through for me. You know what I mean? Because I treat them with the utmost respect, because that's what I expect back. You know what I mean? I try and make sure if I tell somebody I'm going to do something, I do it. You know what I mean? I try and make sure if I say the call time 7 o'clock, best believe I'm there before that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I try and keep my word everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just, you get a lot more out of people when they see your hard work. And man, I'm blessed to say I had a cast of, I don't know what, probably 50 people on the light end, like,
that's,
you know, yeah, that supported my vision one way or another. You know what I'm saying? And it was dope to have that over a 3-year process. We got people shooting scenes in January and in December. You know what I'm saying? Like, seriously, we like, and people came through. Yeah, it was hiccups. Yeah, it was people that, you know, I mean, honestly, everybody's not going to be professional. And those are the ones you have to make sure your story is where you don't need them. You know what I mean? Like, real talk, you can't, one monkey don't stop no show.
Right.
It was time, like, when we were doing the conglomerate, that taught us how to be flexible so much. Because we shot on Wednesdays and Sundays, right? So, and we'll have the crew, the cast, they'll have who needs to be there this Wednesday for this scene. And then two people don't show up. You have to figure out what you're going to do, because you're not going to lose this filming day. You know what I'm saying? You got the crew out. You got everybody here. You know what I mean? Everybody's ready to work, and we got this amount of time to do it. So what are you going to do? We had to improvise and call audibles and change the script. And that was something that we did prior to me filming the movie. So that taught me so much more that I didn't know I would have to deal with if we would have went right into doing Mr. Mata. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I didn't even have a crew before. When I had a script, we didn't have a crew. You know what I'm saying? But during the process of the conglomerate and the videos and different things that we had going on, we found the confidence within ourselves to be like, we could do this shit. You know what I'm saying? We brought in a few people on certain days, but me and Tate did this shit. You know what I'm saying? And Jock too. You know what I'm saying? We all did it. And it was dope to build that team to where we all had the same goal, and was to get it done and make it right. You know what I'm saying? And we're very, very happy with the product. You know what I'm saying? And we've gotten only good things. Yeah, you know, it's a couple technical things that you learn when you're going through this process. And, you know, if people understood the filmmaking process, they even respected even more. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
they respected even more. So, yeah, and the story is phenomenal. We did our thing.
Did you encounter, like, any mistakes you think you made? And, like, what did you do to, like, you know, get better? You know?
Well, some of the mistakes, we saw mistakes, certain mistakes that I saw that I wouldn't want to do again, we learned through them during the conglomerate. Like, you know, some scenes we would, like, let the cast go completely unscripted. And it made it so much harder when it came down to editing. You know what I mean? So once we honed in, or I knew as a director to tell them what lines I needed them to say better once we were actually filming the movie. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like I learned over time after we sit and we edit. And pause. Yeah, we just have to pick it up. Whatever.
We gonna keep going with it.
Alright, for sure. Yeah, hell yeah, bro. We right in it right now. Alright. Yeah.
You know, this the I Am Super Facts podcast.
Right. I was gonna say pause it.
We don't stop, man. This is real, man.
That's cool.
So, you know.
You dig? Yeah, that's my partner, yeah. So Angelo, he's a filmmaker as well. He's actually on his way here because we're working on a short film. You know, this is the first project that I've even, you know, really start wrapping my mind around since the movie, because, you know, just a lot of things have been going on after. You know, that was once we were running hard, long and hard for 3 years straight about this movie. You know what I mean? Like a constant grind. And if anybody knows the grind like I do, Shantae does. You know what I'm saying? And she like we were nights in here till 1-2 in the morning until we start falling asleep editing. You know what I mean? And then we'll go right to the next day of having to go film. We've been in this, man, in the film, people will see, man, most of that is my house. You dig what I'm saying? A lot of shots are in my crib.
Yeah.
Yeah, bro. And people don't like, but we'll make it look like a whole different, you know, a whole different place. You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, you got to do what you got to do when you're doing independent films. And it was dope that, we had so many people support. You know what I mean? It's a beautiful thing, man. It's a beautiful thing. So.
Yeah. Do you like the independent?
I don't know. I guess because it's the only way I've done it.
Yeah, but would you wanna? You know.
As long as my thing is I'm a Virgo. So first off, I'm very I'm meticulous. I know what I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So if I and I'm a creative. So if I have creative control in the situation to a degree, then yeah. But please believe, if I get a major deal, my team coming with me.
Exactly.
And you're gonna have to answer to them. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, you know, we get a deal. I talk in we. Because I know I couldn't have done any, I don't even, if I pick up a camera, it's because something happened and I had to. You know what I mean? I'm not the technical guy. I'm the writer, director, producer. I know what I want visually, and my team, they help me paint that picture. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They know, they do their jobs great. You know what I'm saying? And all I know is how to visualize something and let's make it work. And I know how to motivate. You know what I'm saying? I feel like those are my strengths. You know what I mean? I know what I want, and I'm learning how to show it to other people so that we could get it done.
Oh, that's what's up, man. That's signs of a leader. You know what I'm saying? People that can motivate people to do their job better and, you know, do what they gotta do. Is it anybody that you feel like that was a influence on yourself as far as anybody in the game right now?
You know, I've read a few books here and there, and there's a few directors that I like. But, you know what I mean? My influences are people that I see around me working their ass off to do what they want to do. You know what I'm saying? By all means, like hell, Valentino is an influence to me. You know, even though we have different goals, I see his passion for what he wants. You know what I'm saying? Breezy, she's an influence to me because that's a peer that I look at like, it ain't no reason for us not to do the shit we want to. You know what I'm saying? We smart as hell. You know what I'm saying? And like, people believe in you when you have that passion. You know what I'm saying? So as long as you can demonstrate that you're really about something, you're not just talking out your ass, people will support you. You know what I'm saying? Like, straight up. And I look at people like that. I look at, you know, as far as on the filmmaker side, you know, I said I was going to stop dropping this dude's name a while ago, so I'm not going to drop it. But he makes great films. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I look at the way he makes films or how he makes them about whatever the hell he wants.
Why you don't want to drop his name?
Because I said it in like 4 interviews, and it seemed like every time I get interviewed, I'm saying it. So I was just like, man, I'm not going to keep giving, like, you know. But people see it in some of my work. You know, I try and throw a little shout out and some stuff. And I'll be honest, I say I try and do it, but I honestly do it without thinking about it. You know, it'll be a scene that I've recognized in some of his film, in some director's films, and you kind of like, you know, throw your version of it in there, because that's what you like to see.
All right,
I gotta go grab the door.
I gotta go grab the door real fast. You know, it's the I Am Super Facts podcast. We're gonna pause for station identification. I hope y'all enjoying the show so far. We with my boy Outlaw. He's giving us his take on a couple of things. You know, what he do for, you know, as far as filmmaking. We're going to get into some other stuff as well. The Chicago. So, you know, we got to talk about Jussie Smollett. And probably, we're probably going to touch on Kels. Just to get his opinion or his take on things. So, you know, I hope y'all enjoying it. And sit back for a hot little second.
listening to the I Am Super Facts podcast with your boy Super Facts. He got the belt, he got the titles. Super Facts, Super Facts. Yeah, that's me.
We back. We back with it. We had a little intermission, but it's okay. We back with another one. Basically, I wanted you to go into the projects, new projects that you got coming up.
So you know, we had the film. We had the film Mr. Mata. You know what I'm saying? And that was we released it back in, I believe. Well, the premiere was what, August? Yeah, the premiere was August 16th. So June 16th.
Was that last year?
Just 2018. And so it's been on Amazon for a little while. And, you know, I kind of sat down for a second just trying to figure out what was going to be next. You know, we did a couple commercials, things like that. And now I have another opportunity to do a commercial, a commercial product for a potential, you know, business deal, restaurant. So we're working on that project right now. And then also, so for my premiere, I had an opportunity, and I'm gonna tell this story from the beginning. So anytime I'm out and I'm about and I'm doing anything, if I see somebody with a camera or anything, I approach them and I tell them flat out, hey, if you're trying to do something, you're trying to work, I'm doing this, that, and the other, what's up? Let's get it. You know, so my wife, her family, look, my mother is the oldest of 13. My wife, mother, they have a huge family as well. And so we have all these, you know, extended family events and so on. So we went to a Father's Day, I think it was a Father's Day.
Father's Day picnic,
you know. And, you know, I see, you know, all the fam I don't know, fam I do know, and I've been around forever, you know what I mean, with the family. So I see a young brother with his cameras, you know, he's taking pictures of the family. I'm like, who is Buddy? They say, oh, that's Angelo's son. Okay, all right. I go up to him, I tell him, I say, look, I see you with your camera, man. Look, I'm doing this, that, and the other. You trying to work, man, let's connect. I'm trying to work with anybody trying to do something.
Right.
He was like, oh, yeah, all right. And blew me off. I was like, all right, cool. Right? That's exactly how it went. He was like, oh, all right, whatever, you know, and that was that. You know what I'm saying? I say, I'm like, all right, cool. And so then, you know what I'm saying, you know, we almost finished with the movie at this time. And one of our cousins got married. I saw him with the camera at the wedding, you know what I'm saying? At the wedding, I say, all right. I say, bro, I told you we trying to work, whatever, whatever. And we chopped it up a little bit. And we connected online. And I told him, listen, he was working on a project. It's called the Black Panther. What's the name of it, bro?
Black Chain of Panther.
Yeah, Black Chain the Panther. A documentary. And so I told him, listen, I'm having a movie premiere for my film. Why don't you go ahead and, you know what I'm saying, come on with it. You know, he showed his trailer at my premiere, and we've been, you know, just, you know, supporting each other since, and just trying to make sure we keep going to that next level, you know. And I told him anything, let's try and get something going. So we met a few times, and we finally decided we're gonna do a short film. And right now we you know, we got the script together. We actually working on casting calls. We just put casting calls out yesterday.
Saturday.
So yeah, Saturday morning we put it out. We're getting
feedback too.
Yeah, we're getting hella good feedback. We have a project. And Lo, I'm gonna let you introduce yourself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, introduce yourself, brother.
I'm Angelo. Yeah, I've been making movies in Chicago for maybe about like 10 years. I've been doing it ever since I was in high school. Also do photography. My latest projects was the documentary that he discussed, the one that he allowed me to show the trailer for his premiere, which was a good piece.
Wait, which one? I was at the premiere.
Mr. Mata.
But he's saying which film?
The
Black Chain of Panther.
The Black Panther documentary.
Historical piece. So, I've been making movies, and what else you want to know?
Man, like, where you from?
I'm from Chicago, born and raised on the west side of Chicago.
Pronounced the best side.
I'm a college graduate. I got my credentials.
So you say you direct as well. You got your own movies as well.
I've been directing movies, editing it, and shooting them for a long time now.
So
I mostly focus on like documentaries and short stories and like promotional pieces.
Is this your passion?
Oh, it's definitely
a
passion.
When did it become a passion for you? When did you know, like, this is what I want to do?
See, I've always been into storytelling, even before I took a formal class. Movies was always something that just engaged me, and I always wanted to be the one to create the stories. So I put myself in a position to do that over years, starting with scribbling scripts down in blank notebooks and playing with Kodak cameras, and I just kept at it.
What cameras you working with now?
Yeah, you got all type of shit. Yeah, I'm shooting with a Sony. That's my go-to, though. Sony the go-to. But I fuck with the Red camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm familiar with the Canons. And yeah, I know I got a little knowledge.
Yeah, you
know. So who is your like influences? Like, who influenced you? People that you look up to and like, yo, that's what you aiming for.
As far as like art wise, and I see all the arts as like parallels. I see similarities that's in movies, the same thing that's in music, that's the same thing in painting. It's like you create your ideas through your artistry. So, who influences that I looked up to, it wasn't just necessarily filmmakers. I can't even think of too many filmmakers who are they influencers, but it's a lot of movies that I watch and I gain stuff from. Like, probably the same names that everybody else throw out. You know, the Spike Lee's, Scorsese, the Tarantino's. But also the unknown guys who made one-hit wonders and disappeared. And I actually seen a couple of foreign films, so
yeah.
I just keep myself open when it come to new art.
Like, so it's not just one. It's like you said.
It's multiple. Yeah. It's multiple.
You, what's your favorite movie, Outlaw?
Man, listen, it's so hard to pick a favorite because I have movies that I love, you know what I'm saying? But to pick a favorite, it's pretty impossible, you know what I'm saying? Because there's certain things that I like about films from different genres. Like, one of my favorite movies that I like to watch that's like, you know, a feel-good type deal to me, I love The Last Dragon, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? But it's not my favorite movie. It's certain movies that I love from just different, for different reasons. So like I love Boondock Saints for a reason. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if people know about Boondock Saints. It's a dope movie. You know what I'm saying? It's something that I could see the type of movie it is. I want to do a dark comedy type, a movie that feels that way. So that's something that I've been, you know what I mean, just working on it. And I look at that one as comedy just because of some of the outrageous characters that you have in it, but it's a pretty good story. I love a movie I like is A History of Violence. You know what I'm saying? I love Juice. I love, you know what I'm saying? Like, I don't have a favorite. You know what I'm saying? I love The Warriors. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of
pictures.
Yeah, you know, especially from a filmmaker's perspective. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
One week this might be my favorite movie. Yeah. Next week, something else my favorite.
Real talk.
It depends on how I'm feeling, what I'm living through, and what I want to see.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, one of my movies that I like that I think is written like well, that people probably, I don't know if they think about it, is What Lies Beneath. Yeah, I thought that was well written. You know what I'm saying? It was done good, creepily. You know what I'm saying? It's just a little subtle shit. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, we was going to talk about Us. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm not going to talk about it. My boy ain't seen it yet. So, no spoilers
so we
for
can't.
Me. Yeah, no spoilers.
But just tell me what you think about Jordan Peele, though.
Jordan Peele is a great filmmaker. I will give him that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like that he's outside the box, and I like the fact that at this point in his career, he'll pretty much say what he wants. You know what I mean? Because regardless if he doesn't need the masses or he doesn't need studios to rock with him, he can do his shit himself.
His shit.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Because when he came out and said the other day he doesn't see himself casting, you know, white actors in leads, you know, people was in a tussy about it. I know exactly what he said flat out. I've seen that movie a million times. You know what I'm saying? I want to do something different. And that's what we need more people like ourselves to do if we're going to be self-sufficient in this business and any business. You know what I mean?
Right.
We have to support our own. I'll keep it real. You know what I mean? I'm very cognizant on where I spend my money and things like that. I had to go you know, I live in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. I had to go and take my car down the street yesterday because I wanted them to put some taillights in. You know what I mean? I have, you know, my car, foreign, whatever, what hell people want to call it, German engineering. And you have to, it ain't as easy as just popping it in there. So, you know, he wanted to charge me one price to put the bulb in. All right, that's fine. Now, the front bulb, he wanted to charge me a whole nother price. Regardless of that price, I'll pay it. But I'll be honest, I'm going to take it to a black mechanic. And I don't care what, I want to say I don't care what price he's going to tell me. But I'd rather pay him that same amount that Buddy gave me. Because I feel like, if he tell me that much, then I'm getting the right price. He not trying to get over on me. You know what I'm saying? I feel like, you know, sometimes they won't have any problem by going to their own for services and goods.
Right.
We need to have that same type of mentality. So when you, you know, like when Jordan Peele said, oh, I'll keep casting blacks black as leads. You can't fault them. And if you got somebody making better movies or, you know, more critically acclaimed movies, then you can decide on it. But when I'm the one with the keys, you don't have to come through me. So.
What you think about Jordan Peele?
I mean, I don't really know him to think about him. I don't know.
But well, based on Get Out,
but what he came out with,
that's crazy.
What he came out with and this work that he's doing, mm-hmm. I feel like he's definitely taking a stance, and he's portraying some topics that many people have portrayed before.
Yeah, yeah. He's putting them out there, making you think, making you think. Talk. Yeah.
That's what I like most.
He creating a buzz right. for like black filmmakers.
Yeah, it's the perfect time for us as black filmmakers to keep working and staying diligent on our craft because the doors are opening to get product out there. We don't need studios and all that to create good content and the content that we want to see.
Right.
So you have these different like people like Issa Rae. You know, they opening up doors. What's the dude that's behind, you know, a lot of them?
I don't know all their names.
Yeah, the Big Teeth Cat. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He be on Breakfast Club all the time. With the big Worked teeth. With Kevin Hart all, like, you know how to get those veneers and they be... yeah, Will Packer.
Will Packer,
you know what I'm saying? Yeah. You got him making these doors open. I don't like the guy, but Tyler Perry has been out here doing his thing. I'm going to keep it real. I don't be lying. You know what I'm saying?
Why you don't like Tyler Perry?
My thing is, as far as... I'm along the lines where it's enough... to me, it's enough poor representation of black men out here. So I don't need to see a brother of power putting on a dress every time he want to get a laugh. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's enough, you know, opportunities out here for them to misrepresent us. We need to stay focused and, you know, be the positive role models for our sons and our children going forward that we would like to see. So I feel like we owe that to our children. If that's how he wants to portray himself, that's fine. I prefer to, you know, put out a different image. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see. You know what I'm saying? So he's opening up doors. You got also my boy, and I say my boy because I don't know the nigga, but I support him like he one of my boys. Coogler, you know what I'm saying? Like, I've seen his ascension in a different
project.
Ryan Coogler.
Which one you made?
I'm gonna tell you. So his ascension was he did a short film. He's out of Oakland. He did a short film, right? Then he did the joint about the BART station, where the what is his name? Fruitville Station. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That was his first film, right? First full length. Then
I've seen his work before.
Yeah. Then you go from that to Creed, the first Creed, and then he got Black Panther. You dig what I'm saying? Like that. And you know what he did on each one of those projects? His team was with him. So his director of photography on his short film is the director of photography in Black Panther. You dig what I'm saying? And it's a female. You know what I'm saying? You already know,
cuz.
Right? You know what I'm saying? So it's like you have to support, bring your team with you. You know what I'm saying? Because if anybody else gets in that position, that's what they're going to do. And they know, like, when people say, listen, it's not about who you, what you know is who you know. You know what I'm saying? You can't learn some stuff unless you know the right people. You can't learn getting yourself into the right position until you know what I'm saying, get there. So once you get there, you know, everybody has done this on a resume or an interview. Yeah, I could do all that shit. You don't even know the job. I could do it, though. You know what I'm saying? And when you get in there, you have to learn it.
You gotta learn it.
You know your capabilities, but if you're not in a position where you have to you know, learn it and execute, then, you know what I'm saying? Like, you're doing nothing. So we all know our capabilities. We just need to be put in a position to execute. And that's, you know what I'm saying? I'm always put my people in position to execute. Facts. You know what I'm saying? Straight up. Because they got the faith in me to get us here, and I got the faith in them to carry us. Let's do it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man, I love it. Love it.
With the filmmaking, are you only making crime dramas or crime? Do you see yourself ever making like a horror?
You know what? So my VP, Jock, you know what I'm saying? My VP at L Star Productions, Jock, he asked me the same question. You know what I'm saying? He asked me the same question. And when he did, I was like, well, to me, Mr. Mata is a horror. You know what I'm saying? Because when you watch it, it's kind of a horror because it's kind of gory. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's murder and mayhem. You know what I mean? But like, as far as like supernatural, I would have to wrap my head around a story that I feel like is worth it. You know what I'm saying? Or is done right. I'm very story oriented. If the story ain't solid, I won't be able to start on it until I can see that picture. You know, because I'm painting as a director. I'm painting a picture that I want the audience to see. So I have to see it first. You know what I'm saying? I have to see, all right, this person will be here and they look like this. And you know what I mean? I just have to paint that picture. So unless if I can't see it, I can't paint it. You know what I mean? So yeah, that's how I always look at it. You know,
I know you say you mostly into documentaries, but like, do you also see yourself ever, you know, branching out and doing something different, like crime or horror or something like that?
I think I'm only in the documentaries probably since they're the cheapest ones to make. You ain't got to pay that many people.
Yeah.
It's like an interview style. Mm-hmm. But I definitely see myself as a multi-dimensional director. I don't limit myself to one kind of story.
Right.
Like this piece we're doing now, it's a crime thriller, so-called. But I work with cartoons, animation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's one documentary that you got out right now?
I got the Black Trader Panther documentary out right now. We released that on Vimeo about a month ago. It chronicles, it follows one man who was a mentor of mine and his trials and his stories as he fought for social justice in the Black Panther Party in Chicago and in Oakland. And also did a documentary on Better Boys Foundation, which is out online too. I did that when I was in high school. I was an assistant director on that. That's a feature length one. It's just documenting a youth service platform that serves community over the years and helped out a lot of black people by putting them in positions to succeed. So we highlighted that. I also made like short documentaries I did one on the Dusabo River tour.
Okay.
Yeah. It was like a history lesson. Because Dusabo was like the first black guy to settle in Chicago.
Yeah.
And they've been in the process since the 80s working to get a park built in his honor right across from Navy Pier downtown. Like Harold Washington commenced it and all that, but then he died in office. So
you know how that goes. They want to pull that back. Yeah.
So they called me in a couple of years ago. I went down and documented the tour and put a little spin on it, told the story, stretched it out, made a concrete version.
Mm-hmm.
And they submitted that to the Dusabo Heritage Association. It shows at the gala downtown. There was a lot of Haitians in the building. It was a real nice
thing. I think that's dope, man. Like real talk. I think that's really dope, man. It's good to see you know, brothers,
bro,
you know, getting stuff together like this, man.
Bro,
you know,
listen,
what I'm saying?
So I talk about this often. You know what I'm saying? And I hate to see it online, but any brother that I associate myself with has to be doing they shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you have nothing to provide, I don't really want to be around you. So it bothers me when I see all the hate black men get online about what we not doing. And it's every brother I know is either married, getting married, taking care of business, got their own shit, taking care of their kids or somebody else's kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, we doing, like, I only move in those kind of circles. So when I see all this, all this slander online, sometimes it'll catch me. You know what I'm saying? And so that's something that, you know, right now it's festering. So I'm working on a project that kind of speaks along to that. So, you know, that's something that, you know, I take inspiration from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? Right. Right now, I'm feeling inspired on a couple different things, a couple different topics, and, you know, I think we're going to get a chance to get some good pieces out here for people to appreciate and see just how much work we're doing, how much talent there is in this city, and how much we're going to get an opportunity to show you. You know, I feel it. We got some great things coming, you know?
Yeah, that's...
I know we do.
Yeah. Literally. I can feel it. Besides all that, you know, we in Chicago.
That's
so,
it.
So, I mean, you know, it would be only right if I get your opinion on, you know, the news that's been going on lately.
What news?
I want to hear your opinion on... The 14, 16 charges? 14 charges?
Oh, okay.
That was dropped Jussie Smollett.
Yeah.
I want to hear your opinion about that. Was you with him or against him?
So I start from the very beginning. So the first day that I heard, you know, about this mugging, you know, right? When I heard about it, I looked, you know what I'm saying, and in my group text with a bunch of my cousins and, you know what I'm saying, my fam, I say, I'm going to go ahead and say it.
Yeah.
That nigga lying. I said it the very first day.
Fact,
you dig what I'm saying? I'm going to go ahead and say it. I don't want to be that guy, but fuck it. I'm going to keep it real. That nigga lying. And I said it because we know our city. We know the climate. I know so much about this situation just based on reality. I know good and well that up there in that area, if you walk out a building, you're on camera about 22 times. That's the first thing I said, right? I also, when I heard it came out that he was beat up and or whatever the case may be, I went to his Instagram. It was the same day. He at 12 at night, he's on his phone on the airport, finna fly in on the plane, finna pull into Chicago. All right, so I'm like, wait a minute. So he went to Subway at 2 a.m. All right, cool. We get that. I still believe that happens. You know what I'm saying? I've been at Subway at 2 a.m. in Chicago. This is happening. Not in negative 30 degree weather.
Nah.
But, all right, he just got off the plane. Maybe the nigga's starving. Okay. All right, so...
Could've ate in the airport.
Right. Then I hear that he heard someone yell, "Ain't you that faggot from Empire?" First off, what attire do you have on to where your face is exposed in negative 30 degree weather at 2 a.m. in Chicago? You dig what I'm saying? Like, what attire are you wearing? You dig what I'm saying? Real talk. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, all right, that sounds like BS. And you're
it's
not
negative 30 outside. People don't even really talk.
Exactly. You huddled up going where you going. You're not trying to let nothing come. Only thing showing is your eyes. So you ain't walking into a wall. You know what I'm saying? But they saw you, right? At 2 a.m. Because they just so happened to be out there. Not only that, they accost you. They beat you up, all that. Nigga, you're not getting beat up in Chicago at 2 a.m. and not getting robbed. They never tried to rob you. They just wanted to beat you up and throw a noose on your neck. Like, no, nigga. If somebody's stopping you and whooping you, they gonna run in them pockets. You ain't even get robbed. This isn't even a robbery charge.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? I was like, this sounds like a suburban boy that ain't never been in shit coming up with a story that he telling his parents about how he lost his money or something.
Yeah.
You dig what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It was that ridiculous to me.
Don't forget the urine.
Oh.
Or the bleach.
The bleach, right? So 3 a.m. they got bleach and a rope looking for you.
Right.
You dig what I'm saying? Like, bro, listen. At negative 30 degree weather. It just sounds like trash.
Yeah.
I don't care who's telling the story. If it was my daughter that came in here and told me that happened, you're lying. Tell me the truth. You dig what I'm saying? I don't care who you are. You know what I'm saying? I don't care that he gay or on Empire or black or whatever the fuck. Bro, that's some bullshit. Tell me what really happened. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I always looked at it from point jump. So at that point, I was just like, yeah, whatever. And now you had Kim Fox who... recused herself from it in the beginning, but appointed her assistant, and her assistant is the one that decided to drop all charges. And I'm not tripping on the drop charges. I never thought he was gonna do jail time. Disorderly conduct charges get dropped all the time. Period. You get a disorderly, unfortunately, I've had a few. You dig what I'm saying? Growing up, like, real talk. They throw that out and get your ass on out the way. But the reason they, the problem I had is you forfeited $10,000. You gave them $10,000 because you so in the right. And then you sit up here and you going on news saying, I told you I was... nigga, you supposed to walk the fuck off. You supposed to be like, all right, I'm done. I'm
done.
I'm out. You want to get on bragging. You brought all this bullshit. And then you gave this punk-ass president some shit to talk about in rallies. You know what I'm saying? Oh, now you talking shit about Chicago and your rallies. And you're talking about how they want to make sure... they want to make the MAGA people seem so bad. You bitches are bad. Mm. You dig what I'm saying? But you gave this fuckboy and gave y'all a W in the win in the battle column. Because he want to be on some bullshit because he want to up his own profile. Oh, yeah. And you know what I'm saying? And that's my problem with all that. You know what I'm saying? So they could say, oh, he got off. Fuck Jussie. Fuck the Chicago PD. Fuck Rahm Emanuel. And fuck Jussie too. You know what I'm saying? All they ass. Jussie need to be banned from Chicago. Don't come back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I didn't watch Empire to begin with. The first episode either. I saw, I was like, I think I'll watch Power.
Yeah.
You feel me? Like, and so, I left it at that. But fuck dude, fuck CPD, because they crooked too. Yeah. And fuck, goddamn it, I'm Rahm Emanuel.
What was your opinion? Or do you have one?
I don't think people should really play with the law and get them involved in situations that are necessary.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Situations like that ain't really necessary.
I want to know what his purpose was. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know, like, everybody keeps saying they gonna look at people who, you know, want to come forward with hate crimes. They gonna look at them differently, you know?
Yeah, they gonna want to make sure. Now they have to vet them and make sure it's completely true. Yeah. But the good thing about that is everything is damn near on camera these days.
Yeah.
And that's what fucked up Jussie, cause it wasn't. Nigga, everything on camera. And we couldn't find that. When the Chicago PD, and then people want to be like, the PD was doing this and they messed up the case. The PD had his back for like a minute. We're not calling, he's still a victim. We're searching through thousands of hours of evidence, this, and this. And when they couldn't find them, they was like, this motherfucking lying. You know what I'm saying? Like, real talk. You can't walk on the north, on in River North, or nothing of that, and not be on camera every 2 seconds. You dig what I'm saying? Like, it's just not gonna happen. Ain't nobody getting beat up there, and you ain't get robbed. So somebody, they did it just because they wanted to, right? All right, okay, Jussie. You know what I'm saying? Just get your ass up out of our city.
But you know, do you think this everything that had happened within this case?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, you got the prosecution. You also have the lawyer
mm-hmm.
that was going against Kells mm-hmm. getting arrested.
Avenatti? Yeah, but that's see, my thing is Avenatti, I'll be honest, he ain't that dumb. This is what this is for me, what I see. He was really trying to bully Nike in the office, because it was with their lawyers okay. when he had this conversation. So he's trying to, you know, throw his weight around. He's the biggest dick in the room in his head. You know what I'm saying? So he's telling them, y'all gonna do this because y'all did this, and then they tried to find a way to call it him, you know, trying to blackmail him. You know what I'm saying? Well, yeah, extorting him. All right, whatever. He's also the same motherfucker that is the same one that brought the Trump,
the porn star,
Stormy Daniels. He's the one that was pressing charges on Trump with that and pushing right. that. So you pissing off. Look, Trump just had a what we call a W in this shit when the Mueller investigation didn't directly say it was collusion, yeah. right? So now he, you know, he feeling good, and Avenatti is going after everybody Ooh, he can.
Shit.
He trying to get his name up. Hey, Duke, when we're watching the Duke game. We're watching the Duke game. Michigan State and Duke
right now. Yeah. You know, they just hit a three. Michigan State just hit a three to go up two against Duke with 20 seconds left.
Yeah.
What I was going to say was, do you think this, that Jussie Smollett shit going to affect the R. Kelly case?
They about to cook.
I really don't, because I feel like the R. Kelly case is something different. You've gotten a whole lot of attention towards that. And it's some real laws that have been broken. You know what I'm saying? It's some real, like, he's done some shit. You know what I'm saying?
He's guilty?
Oh, he been guilty. He's as guilty as that nigga name is R. Kelly. I ain't like that nigga since 12 play. When I tell y'all people, hey listen, when I tell y'all, look, I got three daughters. You know what I'm saying, bro? If it had ever been my child, please believe, I'm not that afraid of jail. R. Kelly would have been getting. I am not lying. I'm dead ass. You know what I'm saying, Joe?
So you wouldn't have been one of those parents that's doing interviews that. Saying they looking for they trying to contact their daughter.
Listen, Jim, I ain't that scared. It's certain things you can do in this world that have certain consequences. You dig what I'm saying? Like certain consequences are just in certain circumstances to me. You know what I'm saying? If y'all watch Mr. Mata, you'll see that. Right, you'll see certain things that I feel like, you know, that's just how I feel. I believe in capital punishment, and if I have to take it into my own hands, I believe in that too. You know what I'm saying? Like, straight up, if I have to take it into my own hands, I believe in that too.
Man, that's a good game, right?
Yeah, all day. It's 68-66 with 8.4 seconds left.
Who are you rooting for?
You know what? I'm gonna go with Michigan State just because nobody really likes Duke. And I got people. I shout out my people that went to Michigan State. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So you know,
who you rooting for?
I just want to see a good game. Yeah, I know a couple people that went to Michigan State too. So I guess I might feel closer and leaning to what they said.
Okay,
it's interesting though.
Outlaw, what's up, What you want people to be looking out for, man?
Right now, look, I still want people to go check out Mr. Mata. You know what I'm saying?
What can they find that on?
That's on Amazon. You know what I'm saying? You can actually rent it. You can buy it. You know, look, you can rent it. It's low for $1.99. Go ahead and check it out. It's a dope film. You know what I'm saying? I believe that the more people that see it, the more they're going to like it. Spread it. Show it to your friends. All that good stuff. Independently done right here in the city of Chicago. And then also go to Vimeo and check out.
Yeah, I got the Black Chain of Panther. That is on Vimeo. Type in Black Panther on Vimeo. That should come up.
It's going to come right up.
We got a couple views. It's a good piece. Check it out.
Any future projects?
Yeah, right now, we're working on a short, the crime thriller. Mm-hmm. We put a lot into this. So it's really what people should be looking forward to.
It doesn't have a name yet, but what we are having.
This motherfucker hot. It's hot.
Well, we're having what, April 18th?
April 18th, we have an audition.
So we need you to do is go to my last post and also his last post. If you go to it, you'll see I put up the information there. You can email me at lstarproductions1@gmail.com. That's lstarproductions1@gmail.com. That way you'll get a chance to just send me your information. I will, by next week, I'll send out all the information that I will need you to have for the roles that we feel you may be good for. I need you to also send in a headshot and then a brief resume with acting jobs. That way we have an opportunity to see what roles we feel like will best benefit you and make this project come to life.
What's your Instagram or social media you want to put out there?
Yeah, my Instagram is A The Magnificent. It might be an underscore. I just changed it.
Check that out. A The Magnificent.
With an underscore.
At the end, right?
A
The Magnificent underscore.
And that's on Instagram?
That is Instagram.
You got Twitter or
my
Facebook?
My Twitter not really active. I ain't on Facebook either. But okay. Instagram is where it's all going down. And A The Magnificent with an underscore.
Outlaw, put your social media
you
out.
You definitely can reach me at Chicago Outlaw. On Instagram, and that's 1-0 Chicago Outlaw, Chicago Outlaw. So you go ahead. This game getting good.
Yeah.
But y'all can find me there. That's why I do most of my business. And then you can email me at lstarproductions1@gmail.com. That way, you know, listen, you have anything that you, any projects that you're interested in, you want to know more, you can actually reach out to us on that. We film everything from commercials to we haven't done music videos in a while, but for the right project we are willing to do so, but it does have to be a match because we're very we're very serious about the craft at this point, so things have to be it has to be the right fit all the way around. If you see our work, you like our work, by all means get in contact with us and we'll go from there.
Fact though. definitely want to thank you guys.
You already know.
Coming on the I Am Super Facts podcast, you know. It's been a good, you know, interview.
That's good.
Definitely want people to check y'all shit out, man. I'm always going to push it. I'm always going to support. Thank you.
You already know, bro.
And y'all know who it is already. Michigan State.
Michigan State just won by 1 point.
Oh, yeah.
But y'all know who it is. It's your boy Super Facts.
Yeah, you gonna cry.
This is the I Am Super Facts podcast with your boy Super Facts, aka Facsavelli. I got the belt. I got the title. Peace.
Peace.